the attacks on free speech and medical censorship have been occurring for a very long time. There is evidence of this in my own practice. While working in the role of a nurse practitioner in the areas of maternal child health and infectious disease, I was directed by management to stop telling my patients that life begins at conception. This is a scientifically proven fact. Even though a significant nursing role is to ensure that patients are provided with all available high-level medical and scientific evidence to inform their decision-making, I was directed not to do so. It's utterly astounding that facts just don't seem to matter anymore. Please understand that I'm not anti-anything. I'm for the protection of God-given free will. We were created with the ability to think critically and make our own choices. Government involvement was not necessary. We, the people, are able to assess and manage risk for ourselves by completing our own risk-benefit analysis. We are each responsible for our own health and well-being. The brutal reality is that we risk injury and death every single day. Driving a vehicle poses a higher risk than COVID, but we don't ban driving. The College of Nurses of Ontario is a public sector organization that must operate in compliance with the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, otherwise known as the Charter. All Canadian citizens have the right to freedom of conscience and religion, freedom of thought, belief, opinion, and expression, including freedom of the press and other media of communication, freedom of peaceful assembly, and freedom of association. These charter rights must remain intact when Canadian citizens are registered with a regulatory body such as the CNO. Failure to operate in compliance with the charter can and may subject organizations to legal action. Speaking out in opposition to the COVID narrative places altruistic healthcare professionals in a position that risks their reputation, employment status, livelihood, and license to practice. I cannot and will not remain silent when I know that the measures imposed are not supported by medical or scientific evidence and cause more harm to society than the virus itself. My moral and ethical code demand that I boldly and courageously speak truth to advocate for the public. This demonstrates professionalism and integrity. These attributes are not only admirable, but required as standards of nursing practice. No opposition could ever prevent me from doing the right thing. Nurses are expected to adhere to the standards of practice in carrying out all professional responsibilities. The standards include ensuring informed decision-making and consent, providing evidence-based and ethical care, providing rationale for actions taken, demonstrating sound critical thinking skills, and protecting public safety. The CNO is violating its own standards of practice, including the Code of Ethics, by silencing nurse whistleblowers. Prohibiting nurses from providing all of the available evidence-based information on any topic is in direct violation of these standards of practice. The world has changed, and not for the better. There is something very wrong when persecution and retribution result from doing or speaking the right thing and protecting public health and safety. We are to first do no harm. The book of Proverbs tells us that the first to present his case seems right until another comes forward and questions him. So I ask, why are nurses being prohibited from asking questions? When nurses ask questions, they are demonstrating the very sound critical thinking skills the CNO expects from its membership. Competency demands that nurses demonstrate the knowledge, skill, ability, and judgment required for safe and ethical nursing practice. The CNO is silencing astute nurses with finely tuned critical thinking skills. Why would a regulatory body desire to deliberately target and destroy the nurses who adhere to standards of practice? Why has respectful academic discussion and robust debate? The science is never settled. Data is constantly changing. The sad and deeply disturbing truth is that science is for sale.
Yes.
We have and continue to be violated by pharmaceutical industry and government. Help us put the debate back into science. I would encourage each and every one of you here today to follow the money and do your own research. Let's work collaboratively to understand what is really happening and why. This has nothing to do with health. We are dealing with a very sinister, politicized agenda. We are fighting evil.
Yes, we are.
In closing, I would like to share a few scriptures and quotations with you that have proven to be being extremely encouraging to me during the challenges faced throughout the past year. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be made known and brought to light. Luke 8, 17. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we read, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And finally, a quote by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of my personal favorites. Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. Today, we have sounded the alarm. We encourage all of you to get engaged and stand with us in solidarity. Each of us has our own sphere of influence. Make new connections and share the truth with everyone you know. Be strong and courageously stand in opposition to fear and control. We are overcomers and conquerors through Jesus Christ. Choose faith, hope, love, peace, freedom, and joy. Choose to stand on the right side of history. Choose Almighty God. If God is for us, who can stand against us? God's mighty hand of justice will prevail, and He alone will receive all glory, honor, praise, and worship.
I think it's important to note that this was Crystal's first debut public speaking and coming out because when the media slandered her, they told her that she had to remain silent, clean up her social media, do all the things to protect her job, so she followed all the rules, did what she was told, just to be let go anyways. But she's here with us, standing strong, and I'm pretty sure she's not going anywhere now. So I get to introduce and I just thank you everyone for coming out again. I know this has been long, a lot of standing, you need to shake it out, jump around, move around, meet a neighbor, meet someone, a friend, give some hugs to strangers, share some contacts. I find that the most important part about coming out to rallies is the people that you meet. Because this is the time where we need to build our communities. We need to make our connections, and we need to keep standing together in solidarity and uniting. So meet a stranger today, share a contact, and give out some hugs. I get to introduce our next Globetrotter nurse, who I think most of you are probably familiar with. Jessica Froni, who spent some time in Tanzania working as a nurse and living freely in the hospital. So she got to have a whole entire experience of what life is like across the ocean. And then, coming home, she defied the rules.
Showing your support and love, because it honestly gives us the courage to continue this fight. It's exhausting, and it feels sometimes like I'm hanging on by a thread. I'm still currently working right now, and probably after this I'll get canned, but my morals are not for sale. So. Courage to help me speak about my journey in healthcare during COVID. So my name is Jessica Ferroni, and I'm a registered nurse. I've worked in healthcare in Ontario and volunteered abroad over the last 10 years. And I recently just got back from Tanzania, volunteering in the hospital and doing community outreach programs. And I'm here today to share my concerns and what I've been seeing go down in healthcare while working during this declared pandemic. I'm here to hold my governing body, the College of Nurses of Ontario, accountable in failing to protect the public by silencing its very own frontline workers who are bearing witness to the negligence, abuse, and medical mismanagement during this pandemic. I hope our concerns will be heard and that we can find and work towards solutions to better serve and protect the public. Initially, in March 2020, we had no idea what the hell COVID-19 was and was capable of and who its main casualties were. So we took harsh precautions and implemented strict policies and protocols in society and moreover in the healthcare system. It has been over a freaking year now, and there's a lot of new data and information that has unfolded as it relates to COVID. We know that it has a survival rate for those under 70 of 99.98%. What the hell are we still doing? And over the age of 70, including comorbidities, with zero treatment and prophylactic care, the survival rate is 95%. So my question is, why are we still upholding these draconian measures, not only in society, but how we operate in healthcare? I am seeing the detriments in healthcare, and it is just, it's fucking devastating. Why are we still following the old models and old science of the unknown when we know so much about COVID-19? My concerns are these policies and procedures being carried out in healthcare and in society are directly harming more people than COVID-19, as we are all saying. Why isn't anyone listening to us? A lot of these policies don't even make sense and don't even follow evidence-based practice or the data or the peer-reviewed literature. For example, I work in long-term care, and healthy asymptomatic staff members have to be tested 3 times a week. Where is the data to support this? Like, I don't get it. It's crazy. And every time I call the Ministry of Long-Term Care, all they say is, well, we're just following public health protocols.
Yeah.
What does that even mean? Why is no one having a conversation with us.
It's a dictatorship.
Yeah. Why are we even using a PCR test to determine someone's health instead of subjectively and objectively assessing them? We know how reliable is a PCR test with a threshold cycle of over 30. If you continue to test healthy staff members and base their health on a single tool, such as a rapid test, you're creating an even further shortage.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So if a healthy staff member, it just happened recently, tests positive, do you know what happens in long-term care? They have to isolate, they have to go home for 2 weeks and isolate, and the entire home goes into isolation mode, which is even stricter than what they're currently being held in now. It's literally like prison. Residents are still unable to leave the home. Their activities of daily living have been taken from them. They're denied access to see their loved ones. And it's just really so unnecessary. How is this humane, ethical? How does this logic follow evidence-based practice? Not to mention, they've all been vaccinated. So what is the point? Yet they're still being held as prisoners. They're still encouraged to wear masks in common areas, which is negligent because they're not even fit to wear a mask. It is so dangerous. I am speaking here today because I should not feel threatened for wanting to know why these measures exist. And if it is so fundamental and follows science, why not just provide a rationale?
What rationale?
All right.
She's so naive.
You're doing a great tweet. We love you.
Another ironic and questionable measure is all staff must wear masks, face shields, full PPE, no matter what. I'm not sure if people forgot this, but this was never normal to wear full PPE during your entire 12-hour shift when you're not in an acute situation that warrants it. I just came off a night shift. It's a thing to wear full PPE when people are working with patients who are on contact droplet isolate precautions, but to wear it during in the halls or sitting in nursing stations, talking to residents in common areas, it's just simply unnecessary and dehumanizing. This is their home. Imagine a confused resident and now you add all this COVID gear. Like, it is neglect, it's abuse, it's their home. This is where they're going to die and they're not even gonna see their loved ones. I literally just had to call a family member the other day to tell them their loved one passed away unexpectedly, and she was devastated. She had not seen her mother in over a year. That is psychologically going to mess her up. She's gonna have to live with that. Alright, so it's also interesting, I find it also interesting, in 2018 when influenza was a thing in the hospital, the major downtown hospitals created a vaccine or mask policy, which meant during influenza season you either had to wear a mask or get vaccinated. The Ontario Nurses Association filed a lawsuit against this policy after deliberation in the court ruled in their favor because they said it is illogical and irresponsible, and it is the exact opposite of being reasonable because there is scant literature and evidence that forcing healthy workers and nurses to use masks reduced the transmission of influenza. Not only am I seeing a significant decline in the health and well-being of long-term care residents, it's apparent that suicide, overdose, strokes, abuse, and child and adolescent anxiety and depression are now flooding the healthcare system due to all the public health mismanagement of this pandemic. I will not be a silent witness to this crisis. I am holding you, the College of Nurses, public health, and the government accountable. There is so much blood on your hands, and you need to start having an open discussion with your frontline workers. We are begging you for educate and inform the public with healthy tools and ways that will decrease their risks using fear tactics and not calm, objective information to give people tools to make informed decisions. That is what you need to be doing. The risks of, we know that obesity and vitamin D deficiency is a direct huge risk factor, and instead of promoting health and teaching about preventative health, your solutions have been to muzzle your frontline workers, lock down the province, prevent people from accessing care, and use fear tactics in the media to scare them. And how are people supposed to access proper care? This is not okay. We are not COVID deniers. We are advocating for everyone else who is being affected by this pandemic. It's not a matter of COVID anymore. We're asking you to open your eyes and to see the negligence and mismanagement of healthcare and do something about it. Enough is enough, and thank you for standing and listening to us. Thank you again. I'm going to keep thanking you guys for coming out, because this is what we need. We need to keep standing in solidarity. We need to keep holding up these giants accountable and remembering, you know, David and Goliath, who won?
David.
We're going to beat these guys. And I know some of our stories are repetitive, but it just goes to show you that no matter where we are nursing, what areas we are, where we come from across the globe, we have someone that has come in from Quebec today to support us. Woo! Saturday at Queen's Park, 12 o'clock.
Yes.
Yeah, so we have people coming in from all over today because we are all seeing the same thing, and we are all asking for our college to be held responsible and to do the right thing. So before we end, I'm just gonna read my speech. And then we're gonna get everyone hold up your signs. I think we want a picture, especially some of the signs that we've handed out with Professionals Against Lockdowns. There's some over there. And I believe they want those collected at the end too, just so we don't go home with them. And we do have a big announcement just to wrap things up. So, okay. So today we come together in unity, standing before you, risking it all to remember our oath as nurses and the irreplaceable role we play in upholding goodness and decency for the health of our patients and the public. We are the eyes, the ears, and the heartbeat of hospitals. Many of us have lost their jobs and our licenses are being threatened. Yet we are here today to stand up for the truth, whatever the cost may be.
Yes.
I am Kristen Nagel, a nurse, holistic nutritionist, and a mom. I was publicly slandered and defamed, terminated, and my license is under investigation by these guys for speaking truth and standing up for our rights and freedoms. They've tried to silence me, bully me, and break me. But little did they know that the harder they tried to take my voice away, they only made it stronger and louder. Yeah! It has united me with you, everyone here today, and the nurses that are standing before you here and across the globe that are doing the same, speaking truth. I was taught in nursing to be a critical thinker, to follow evidence-based best practice, to ask questions, and to advocate for our patients' health. Yet I've come to realize this means only if it fits the narrative. As we've heard already many times today, the college has told us
that we will be reprimanded if we speak out against masks, social distancing, vaccination, or any public health mandates. And this is why so many aren't able to speak up and why we are here today to bring awareness to the censorship of nurses. This is that we are speaking out on egregious violations to our code of conduct as nurses. We are speaking against the rapid deterioration of our standard of care and subsequently the quality of patients' mental health and physical health this past year. The cure is clearly worse than the disease. We can do better and we should strive to do so. We are losing meaningful connection and dehumanizing each other. I have witnessed this in the neonatal intensive care unit. As strict restrictions were put in place, mothers admitted to the antenatal unit were told they could only have one support person. They were sometimes there for weeks, if not months. This meant going without seeing family, including their other children, and sometimes their own partner. During an already stressful experience with a high-risk pregnancy, we are worsening the burden on mom and baby, as well as increasing loneliness and fear. Mothers are now being told to wear a mask during labor. Parents are being told that they must take a PCR test before entering the hospital. And if they refuse to do so, they are being threatened that they will not be able to see their baby for 3 days if admitted to the NICU. Are also not welcome in the OR for the birth of their baby during a C-section. If a mother has to be put under general anesthetic during the C-section, both parents miss the birth of their child. Having a baby admitted into the NICU is a terrifying experience for parents. We are now denying them support at the bedside as only one parent is allowed within 24 hours. Our micro preemies can be in the unit for up to 100 days. This is a time of immense grief, stress, and worry. And now parents are going through this alone. Separating families and their support is completely unethical and has grave long-term effects on the parents, but also the health and resilience of their baby. Parents are also told to wear a mask when in contact with their own child. It gets worse. Mothers are told to wash their skin prior to breastfeeding. Ridiculous! What message does this send? We are dirty? Our own children can be harmed by our touch? When a baby is born, now they only see their masked mother's face. The still face experiment has proven the devastating psychological damages this has on babies. Without seeing facial expressions, they are distraught, emotional, and fearful. They are scared of the very people that are meant to keep them safe, secure, and loved. Our children are now being raised in fear. Fear of each other, fear of the world, fear of illnesses, viruses, and germs, even the air we breathe. They are being taught to fear everything, including themselves, as the messaging is, they are walking threats carrying possible disease. As a nurse and a mother, I cannot stand idly by and watch the devastation lockdowns and public health mandates are having on our elderly, our children, local businesses, and our communities. People are gravely suffering, and it is our job to stand up against harm. It is our job to not just do no harm, but to do good. During an unprecedented time in history, the college is allowing the quality of the standard of care to be suspended rather than expecting us to uphold it to the highest degree. You can see this on their website. In our training, we were taught to be nurse advocates and agitators. This should never have been removed from our roles. Do not ignore your gut feeling that something is very wrong. Not only are you liable for not reporting, it is the right thing to do. If we all stand for what is right, we'll correct the course of our declining healthcare system
and set the course for improved establishment working towards true health and well-being. In one short year, we have forgotten that as nurses, we have all pledged with Florence Nightingale, before God and in the presence of this assembly, to pass our lives in purity and practice our profession faithfully, agreeing to never take or administer any harmful drug. Hence this biologic gene therapy. By committing to elevate the standard of our profession, we must recognize that we are the first and last line of defense in our society for decency, integrity, and compassion. We have the first and last opportunity to do the honorable and dignified thing for people. Proper informed consent, medical transparency, and medical freedom have also been removed from healthcare and our roles as nurses. Nurses are no longer able to do their important job of educating patients and families. Instead, we are to remain silent and do as we are told. Frontline nurses are confirming, as we've seen here today, that the current healthcare model focuses on practices that continue to fuel disease, causing harm that is sometimes even fatal. If another way exists that promotes healing, well-being, and empowered sovereign health, then it is our responsibility to investigate and implement new practices and change our profession. They need to be held accountable for what they're doing. And this applies to everyone in a place of power over humanity. Police, teachers, and doctors. We must remember why we entered into these professions. What called us to be in these areas to look out for our fellow neighbors, to want to protect them, help them, and make a positive impact in their lives and the community. As I look around our current society, I do not see help. I see fear, illness, disempowered individuals. We have been taught, we have been made into victims. We have been taught from birth that our bodies are weak, that they are not good enough, and that we need pharmaceutical injections to keep us strong. We've been told to ignore our intuition and our gut instincts. We have been taught to place the responsibility of our bodies and our health into the hands of someone else. Too much time is spent researching illness and disease rather than prevention and actual health. True health and well-being are not found by someone else or in an injection or even from behind a mask. It's found from within us. After all that has happened to me this year, when I chose to speak out, it felt at first as though a huge door is being closed on who I identified myself as, an NICU nurse. Little did I realize how much more awaited me to really stand in my purpose, to make change, and be the nurse I was always meant to be. Do not let fear of the unknown stand in the way of a better future for you as you find your voice. It's time we all find our courage, our bravery, and our voices to stand firm and united in truth to do the right thing. When you begin to say enough is enough and stand up for truth, you'll quickly realize you are not alone, as we are showing here today. We are supported and protected, and we are stronger when we all stand together. I know we can all be an example to the rest of the world. Nurses, it is our time to rise, to stand for a better world, and to take action daily in the practice of our sacred calling. We must follow our promise, devoting ourselves to the welfare of those committed to our care. As we stand here today, committed to be your voice, those in our care, which is all of you here today and beyond, we ask you to do the same for us. Stand up for your nurses, the ones that are trying to speak truth. Hold the college accountable for the silencing of nurses and the harms they are doing in the province of Ontario. Each and every one of us who have bravely attended today are here for a reason. We are here living and breathing in this time by intention. We need to shine our light so that others can find their way out of this darkness. We are here to change history, to make things right, to change the future of health, and start a health revolution. Woo! We are allowing our rights, freedoms, and sovereignty to be removed at an alarming rate. When we no longer have autonomy over our own bodies and our children's, we have lost everything. This alone should terrify everyone and encourage more to speak out. So let us learn the lessons that history has taught us and correct the course of the future with our brave actions. Never underestimate the significance of one person standing up for freedom and the ripple effect that it can have. I know this because I started as just one person inspired by another that stood before me. This is the time to stand up and be bold, to envision the future you want, to go against the grain and stand on the right side of history to make everlasting change. As Susie Kazin stated, the price for standing up for truth, no matter how severe, will always be less than the price our souls will be penalized for not speaking up for our conscience.
That's right.
There is no greater crime in the universe than silencing your conscience. And I know nurses are being placed in that difficult position where they are put in the place to choose their soul over their career right now. So we must let the world know that we will not be silenced. We do not comply. We stand firm. We stand united. And enough is enough.
Please come in. You're our heroes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.